This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan Decube, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories.
Taryn Johnson is a name that I've said so many times. I speak about her in many of my keynotes. I've been telling her story for many, many years. But this incredible South African looked at a problem, thought of a solution. Her community around her must have thought she was absolutely nuts, but she started something that is literally changing the environment. Taryn Johnson decided that the Hennops River was just absolutely filthy. By herself, she climbed into that river and started cleaning it. Eventually, the community got involved. Eventually, corporates got involved. And recently, she celebrated a massive milestone. I've got her on the Good Things Guy show today. I get a little lump in my throat. It's so incredible to speak to you. Taryn, what an absolute honor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brent. I really appreciate you reaching out. And I know it took a while to respond, but that's just a reflection of how busy things are getting. And how much things are taking off. It's really exciting.
Okay, for all of the listeners that are going, what the heck are you speaking about? Taryn, let's start at the beginning. A little over 4 years ago, you saw the Hennops River was in an absolute state. It was after rain and flood and sort of things that had happened. And you decided that you wanted to clean it. Where did that inspiration come from?
So I had been through quite a lot of introspection. I was looking into myself and trying to figure out who I was and, you know, where I was going wrong and what was happening in my life. Through that, I, went through many processes. Obviously, one of them was trying to end abuse in my life, but also just connecting with nature and using nature to connect to myself. And then I got very sick and I just wasn't getting any better. And I asked a friend of mine for help because, you know, I never really get sick. And so he told me to do a salt water flush and then a 72-hour water fast. And I healed myself with water. And then shortly after that, my daughter asked me, she was 12 at the time. And she said to me, "Mommy, I want to do a river cleaner." And I still thought, "Oh, you are joking. Have you seen the river?" But, you know, it's fine. I'm a mom. I can organize. And so I did. And, you know, it was a whole bunch of people. I just posted out all over Facebook that we are going to be doing a river cleanup. And the day was a huge success. But I saw the water and I was like, whoa, okay, we have got problems. Because that water at that point was black. And I had played in that same area as a child, quite safely. And so obviously having done all this introspection, I looked at the water and I was like, look, this is a reflection of our society. This is a reflection of where we're at. What can I do? Here I am. Take me. And I literally gave myself to the water and I had promised to try and remain an empty vessel for which the water can, you know, the will of the water can flow. So that, you know, does become quite challenging because, you know, we are human and we get hurt and we do get disappointed. But I try not to be too attached to outcomes and it's a huge teacher, you know, because you've just got to trust that you're not the boss the whole time. I just surrender. And with that, obviously, I made a commitment to do whatever I could, whenever I could, however I could. My startup tools were my hands and my voice. And this thing just grew and it's exploded, as you can see, into something that permanently feels like I'm just at the beginning. You know, I'm like, okay, it's starting now. Now it's really starting, you know.
How has it grown? Because you were just one person, you did this cleanup, and then all of a sudden you realized that it was bigger than you and bigger than this. So you decided to put a call out, and did corporates sort of jump on board to assist you so that you could get more volunteers? How did it happen?
I think it was mainly just through the consistency and continually creating awareness, continually carrying on, ignoring everybody that told me, listen, if I told you how many people told me I'm wasting my time and I'll never get it right and I have to go to the source. And if I had listened to them, none of this would be happening. From that, people would have seen me. I made a commitment to do bi-weekly volunteer days, and then people caught sight of it and then started offering to pay for an extra pair of hands, and then I realized, okay, I better start an NPO because I don't want to just be taking people's money. And even though I think it would just be better to do that. So I did that, and it was a process. A lot of people, if they just said to me anything negative, I just block them. Block them out. I'm like, you don't get to follow my journey then. But it started off with just me wandering around the river on my own and meeting people that live on the riverbank. And then shortly after that, we had those big floods of 2019. And I started a homeless shelter. And then just after that, I had, we all had, not just me, we all had COVID. And the lockdown was hectic. So I knew everybody and I knew everything about a homeless shelter. So I generated a massive amount of donations, so much so that we were actually sending it to other areas in need. And it was really incredible. And then after lockdown, went straight back to the river because obviously, that was my commitment. And just continued and then started creating jobs for the people that were with me in the shelter. So it grew and grew and grew and grew. I've actually opened a second NPO, which is called the Deep Water Movement. And that's because I realized that all the water problems don't start and end at the HENOPS. And HENOPS Revival, the name is very strictly HENOPS. So it's a sister company, but it will allow me to actually go further, work on other rivers, work with other people in other areas. And, just again, trusting the water, it'll take me wherever it needs me to go.
It'll take you wherever it needs you to go. You recently celebrated the end of last year, a massive milestone with the amount of kilograms that you and the community and the volunteers that are part of your incredible initiative have removed from the river. What is that number?
It's over 4.5 million kilograms of trash. That was taken just from the Centurion area, and that was over it was about 4 years. That was our 4 year milestone.
That number is absolutely massive. You're very humble in the way that you delivered that. It's 4.5 million kilograms of trash that you, by doing one idea, by thinking about creating one change, that you managed to create this bigger change within our environment. Tell me, what did you do with all that trash? Where does it go?
So, unfortunately, with the state of the river being that toxic, a lot of the stuff is not even recyclable. That, is hugely problematic. And we've been working on getting people involved who can actually process the stuff without damaging their machinery. Because as soon as it comes with a whole bunch of silt and sand and stuff and cannot be recycled, then you have to come up with other ways. So just being, I've won quite a lot of competitions. Through networking and those platforms, met up with other people that are making bricks, using plastic waste. But again, the problem comes in with they can't take it if it's too dirty. because it just does too much damage to the machinery. So unfortunately, all of those kilograms, not all of them, but a lot of them, have gone to landfill. We've had some recycling partners come in and separate. They have big bags and groups of people that stand and separate. They know exactly what they're doing. And then, they salvage whatever they can. We've also done quite a lot of polystyrene recycling, where some partners of ours come through, collect the polystyrene, because there's big chunks of polystyrene. I'm sure you've seen the pictures that come down the river. And those can actually be used in, like picture frames and cornices and that type of thing, being, remolded into fantastic products. So yeah, we're trying to, come up with the best possible and most sustainable solutions for all of this waste. But I, can't help but wonder, like, how much money it actually costs to make such a big mess and to let it get so far. Where have we gone wrong?
Where have we gone wrong? I think that's a powerful, powerful question for all of the listeners to think about. Think about what you had for breakfast this morning. What sort of containers did that come out of? What did you do with the containers? Did you put it in the bin? Did you put it into the recycling bag? What did you do with the rubbish you used today? Where did we go wrong? Taryn, you spoke about this new deep water movement. What is on the horizon? Is there anything that you can tell us?
Yeah, there's quite a lot. So for now, we launched in March for World Water Day, and we did five events. So one of them was with the youth. We're trying to focus quite a lot on the youth. So it's basically me and myself partnering with other people. So at this stage, it's Hennops and Deepwater partnering with, Outurance and the youth for that specific cleanup, where we just, nobody touches the water anymore. It's just at an incredibly bad state at this point, and I don't feel comfortable. There's one thing when I was climbing in and submerging myself, but having that as a job description and something that I'm paying somebody to do, climbing to sewage, is really very dangerous. So I've taken a decision not to do that anymore. So we clean up on the banks. Obviously, when there's floods, there's loads of trash that just ends up all over the sides of the banks, which is still, safe for people to pick up and so on. And then we've done a lot of citizen science, but we want to move more into education. And we're going to be doing, I think, like I see this, at the end of last year, I was summarizing. Actually, it was at the beginning of this year. I was busy just going through everything in my head, and I thought to myself, what am I doing? What am I doing? I've been doing this for over 4 years, and what's changed? Has the behavior changed? No. Is there any less trash coming down? No. And in fact, things have not gotten better. They've gotten worse. And I felt like I was enabling apathy. And that is not what I'm here to do. So I decided to change the focus, shift more, into the youth, climb deeper into the wound, because this is a big festering septic wound, and we've got to get in at the re really at the bottom and start empowering children, letting them understand more, and getting them to see their worth and their value as people. Because I think there's a lot of love missing in a lot of the communities. So I want to go in and let's say, for example, we've got our Earth Day initiative coming up. And of course, with that, I was like, no, well, I can't just do Earth. It has to be more than that. So we'll start on Earth Day with connecting to the Earth, and then connecting to water. And then we'll have to run it over a couple of months, but we'll then follow on with, you know, what you're feeding into your body, your nutrition, and how that affects your gut health, and obviously how your gut health then affects your mental health. And we'll look at bringing in animal therapy and giving back to the earth. You're responsible for pharmaceutical disposal and use, obviously, not to promote addiction and you know, that type of things. And then also separating your waste, so separating its source, providing the schools we want to work with underprivileged children that don't have access to this kind of information or the facilities that go with it. And then we'll bring in intimacy health and menstrual health, as well as looking after your municipal infrastructure, because that's very important. And then we'll close it off. We'll also, before that, we'll do cultural health and community health. We'll introduce, like, you know, just being an active citizen in your community and how you can actually make a change from that. And then we'll close off also with your financial health. So how to manage your money. So the idea behind the whole thing is really to grow the next generation of leaders into responsible, knowledgeable, and powerful people.
So incredibly important that we be changing the future leaders of tomorrow. Taryn, if anybody wants to get involved, if they want to get more information, if they want to join your incredible cause and clean up our rivers and make sure that we have water tomorrow, where do they go?
They can get hold of me all over social media. I'm not on TikTok. I think I'm a bit old. I'm just not getting the TikTok thing, but otherwise, I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And then obviously we've got our websites, the two of them. It's henopsrevival.co.za and then deepwater.org.za. So they'll be able to get my contact details from there, and there should be an email link to contact me.
It's that easy. Make a difference. Become an active citizen. Look after our scarce resources so the future leaders of tomorrow can also live a good life and get fresh water and have all these things. It's been great having you on the show, Taryn. And as I say every week to all of our listeners, wishing you only good things. That's it. Wishing you only good things. And for more good things, visit www.goodthingsguy.com. Okay? Love you, bye.